Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome to another sparkling edition of the Thought Police. It's the big new podcast. Well, it's actually not that new, but it is big and it's getting bigger. I'll tell you what, we are actually doing quite well on the podcast.
Tell me about it.
Kevin O'Sullivan's here. We were up above James O'Brien the other day.
Well, quite rightly,
which
too.
Which is quite right, too, because we're trying to destroy all of his listeners, and it's pretty soon if we start...
Well, just don't worry, mate, they're self-destructing.
Combination of our radio shows and to the Thought Police, it should be there. Now, I don't know about you, but last Friday, right, I was sort of languishing at home, busy old week, thought, you know, have some nice... We had a roast dinner on Friday night, which was
very nice.
Very nice, bit of chicken, a couple of glasses of wine. I wasn't really paying much attention to the old social media, and I suddenly looked at it and thought, Christ almighty, what's going on? Because there we were, with the European Union smack bang in the middle of the big row, trying to impose a hard border in Northern Ireland.
I mean, that week, last week, was... I mean, to say it's the beginning of the end for the EU is probably an understatement.
Yeah.
It was just extraordinary.
Incredible.
Ursula von der Leyen proved to be absolutely useless. As
yes.
they say, if you want to get a high-ranking job in the EU, you must first prove your incompetence at home. And she did that as the worst defence minister Germany's
yeah.
ever had. At one point, they were conducting war games using broomsticks. Because just like she failed to order vaccines, she failed to order
yeah.
weapons for the German army.
Well done, Ursula.
So she was utterly pathetic as a defence minister, rose without trace, now has this top job as EU commissioner, and last week exposed herself as completely and utterly useless and nasty and a stupid idea.
And a bit dangerous, actually.
Yeah, well, they think that they're so addicted to their European federalism that they slap down the other leaders of Europe, people like Merkel and Macron, who said perhaps we better form a special vaccine buying unit, you know, made up of France, Germany, Spain, Italy, Holland. No. It's got to be done centrally by Brussels.
Yes.
So they reluctantly allow her to press ahead. She does nothing and completely screws it up. And when it's... quite clear she's made the most monumental cock-up of all of this. She starts getting vicious, slaps down Ireland, closes the border, says that 3.5 million vaccines destined for Britain's old and the vulnerable can't go there, you know, literally costing lives. I mean, this is just dreadful. And of course, if she worked for any other organisation, she'd get the fucking sack right now.
Well,
but
of course.
The EU, if you're shit, you've got a job for life.
Well, do you know, I'd actually forgotten who her predecessor was. And I don't know if you remember, but you know when your mind kind of goes blank and you go...
Was it that old drunk, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the drunk. Yeah, it was
Junkers.
Jean-Claude Drunkard.
Yeah.
And to be worse than him is really quite an
yeah.
achievement.
Yeah, even he came out last week saying
right.
that what she was doing was a disgrace.
Right.
And if he says that, trust me, what she was doing was a disgrace.
I mean, even pissed he was a better commissioner, yeah. you know, EU commissioner than she is, sober.
Yeah, I mean, as I said last week, what she proved the EU to be was useless in not... ordering any vaccines. Childishly petulant in saying, right, well, Britain can't have them anyway.
Right.
And then vicious by closing down in a temper the Irish border. And then feeble.
And then realizing
feeble for backtracking and doing a big U-turn.
And also, let's not forget, the other thing they were doing was effectively raiding the vaccine manufacturers' factories to make sure that they were telling the truth about whatever it was. She also lied about the Best Endeavours threat in the contract, you know, because she said, that's not in there. And then suddenly the contract comes out and there it is.
Well, it was her and fucking Sturgeon. They both said, right, we're going to publish the contract between AstraZeneca, Pfizer and the government and the EU and the British government. And so the contract with the British government, which was duly published, by the way, Nicola Sturgeon cannot possibly have read it.
No.
Otherwise, why would she threaten to make it public?
Well, don't get me started on Nicola Sturgeon.
But basically, the contract said, well, EU, well, Brussels, you were basically 3 fucking months late. We'll do our best to get you what we can. That's all the contract said. So exposing the contract exposed the uselessness of the EU.
Exactly.
The AstraZeneca did not lie. They said they would do their best. That's all they could do because she was so fucking late.
Yeah.
So Nicola Sturgeon, when she said, I'm going to embarrass Boris Johnson by publishing the contract. Hey, Nicola, next time you fucking do that, why don't you read the contract first?
Yes. Well, do you know what else she promised to do? To reveal the numbers of vaccines that she had, which would be in direct contravention of what Prime Minister Boris Johnson had said, please don't do that, because then it starts to give away the farm to everybody else, right? So now she's hiding behind that, because yesterday, I don't know if you saw the press conference she gave, where she was asked, why is it that Scotland has rolled out so few vaccines compared to England? And she said, oh, well, I can't answer that because obviously I'm limited in what I can say about how many vaccines we've got. So, I mean, this is a woman who is now tying herself up in knots to avoid answering any questions about fucking anything.
What we were saying like last Thursday, Friday, because Nicola Sturgeon on the contract at debacle, I'm going to publish the contract, we'll read the fucking thing first.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you wouldn't have threatened that. She obviously took a look at it and thought, oh, fuck that.
You better not bother.
That'll make me look a lot right dickhead again. So she disappeared.
Right.
You know, became the hermit, the disappearing Scottish leader. Didn't hear from her for days.
And she didn't manage to put a tweet out, funnily enough, about the EU's massive blunder on Friday night.
But she has yet to clarify her position as to why she backed her initial reaction was to back the EU as the EU were trying to blockade 3.5 million vaccines getting to Britain, ordered, paid for and destined for our old and our vulnerable, and that includes the people of Scotland. We still haven't an explanation for that.
And you probably won't get one either.
Won't need one. Yeah, of course not, because she screwed it up again.
Right, and also her husband this week refused to appear before the inquiry into the whole Alex Salmond affair, by just saying, I'm not going. Peter Murrell, his name is, and he says, I'm not doing it.
He's
just not going.
He's dropped shit once already.
Well, he has.
He?
I mean, she's obviously told him, you're not fucking going into that room, mate, otherwise our marriage is over.
Yeah, well, if I was you, mate, I'd go into the room then.
I mean,
get out of that marriage if I was you.
It is quite extraordinary what's going on, though. But I do detect, and I mean, we've been doing a fair bit of it ourselves, and I know you have as well on your show.
Yeah.
There's a fair bit of kind of eye-opening going on about Scotland, because there's been this ridiculous kind of view that Nicola Sturgeon is so clever, she's so smart, look at how much better she is at PR than Boris Johnson is, look how much better she's doing. And it's all a paper tiger, isn't it? It's all literally built on no foundation of truth whatsoever.
Yeah, well, she's useless. I mean, she's making a real fuck-up of Scotland. Yeah. Has done from the word go. You know, her anti-alcohol policy. You know,
she's gone mad. I mean, she used to be quite an interesting woman. I used to know her quite well in Scotland when Alex Salmond was in charge and she was his deputy. And in fact, it came quite close at one point to the Daily Mirror in Scotland. Because I'd gone to Piers and I said, I think we should endorse the SNP because they're absolutely kicking Labour to death, right?
Right.
And by this time, the Daily Record, of course, was the Labour-supporting paper in the same building,
run
by that maniac Peter Cox. Remember him? who used to have running battles with me on a regular basis. It was great fun.
Middle name sucks.
And I said, you know, it makes no sense for the Mirror in Scotland to support Labour because, one, the Daily Record's already doing it. And two, there's a great opportunity here to grab some new readers, right? Now, as it turned out, of course, the Daily Record stuck with Labour And the Sun ended up endorsing the SNP, which was a very clever move because they got all the nationalists on board. We were about to do it, but couldn't, apparently. And do you know why?
Why?
Because Victor Blank, who was then the chairman, who was very much in with Labour, as in those days, I guess it would have been still Tony Blair.
It was Blair, I think.
And they was very much a Blairite.
Blair Brown, sort of, that era, yes.
Yeah, that era. And he kiboshed it. And I, at one point, there's a guy called Mark Hollinshead, who used to be in charge of the record and the Sunday Mail in Scotland. He suddenly appeared at my door one morning and he said, I hear you're thinking about possibly endorsing the SNP. Is that true? I said, well, it's none of your fucking business. I'll tell you that for a start. I said, who wants to know? He said, well, I've been asked the question by Lord, what's his face?
Blank.
Victor Blank. I said, well, why don't you ask him to ask Piers Morgan? That's who he should ask. He shouldn't ask you to ask me. Piss off. So he did. We didn't get on terribly well, either. We actually We got on all right by the end of it, because he ended up running the Mirror in England.
I know he did. Tell
in the UK. I suppose
there.
That's why you would have been there,
time,
yeah. He very famously fell
run
through.
It all that well.
No. Well, the thing that's amazing.
Mind you, who does?
The thing that's even more amazing, you'll remember we were at that party a few years ago for Matt Kelly's organ. Around the
new
back
European,
of, do you remember? And we were there under false pretenses because we were both standing there going, I'm not quite sure what we're doing here with all these fucking remainders.
Well, actually, I used to write a few pieces for
him. Did you?
Yeah. So,
well, he invited me because I guess we must have been doing the podcast or something like that.
Yeah.
But we ran into Hollinshead that night, do you
That's
remember?
That's right, yeah.
And he said,
oh,
you'll never guess where I'm working. He was back at the Mirror. He'd been rehired to fucking, well, run a sort of line over the management.
Well, you know what it's like at the Mirror Group? Nothing succeeds like failure.
Well, that's right.
Yeah,
and
get rid of readers, get promoted.
I'm surprised they've managed to find anybody else to fire, for heaven's sake. Yeah. I mean, ever so. But he famously, was famous for falling through a glass table in Scotland at a do. Which I don't think I was at. I think it was after I left. But he quite liked to drink, and it was one of these press charity balls or something like that. And
I'm sure he just tripped.
Very late on, he tripped and fell through a big glass coffee table.
Yeah, no, I heard about
that. Yeah, it was pretty embarrassing. But yeah, so the SNP have basically killed the Labour Party in Scotland. But I think the problem they've now got is that they've forgotten what they stand for. Because they know they don't really want a second referendum. I mean, all these people. Do you remember that guy that rang into my show, Gary, who was English, and started talking to me like he's saying things like, you people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you mean exactly by that, fucking you people? You're the one that's English. I'm the one that's Scottish. What are you talking about?
Well, the fucking SNP have got an existential problem. You know, you're right. See, what Nicola does, and she's making a lot of song and dance about it like right now, screaming from the fucking rooftops. Mm. You know, Indy Ref 2, give us our give us our referendum. We will get our independence, Braveheart.
Yeah, please
You'll never
don't talk
take
about
our
Alex
fucking
Salmond.
Freedom. Yeah, don't talk about... Exactly. That is to drown out the rising crescendo about the Alex Salmond affair.
Yeah.
She's in deep shit there. It's also to drown out her lamentable performance running Scotland. You know, the alcohol programme that she's brought in has resulted in soaring drug addiction rates. So the heroin
problem
is drugs
are now
back.
Cheaper.
Their education...
Well, they got the worst drug death record in Europe.
Yeah,
they?
Well, she's reinstated that by making... booze astronomically expensive. She's also ruined their education system. Their health system is in the toilet. It's a fucking shambles up there.
Also,
so she goes, Indy Ref 2, give us Indy Ref 2.
More old people have died in care homes in Scotland by proportion than have in England.
Yeah, yeah.
She's also now rolling out the vaccine.
500,000 out
I think,
of 10
I think
million.
The lowest rate of vaccination was the day before yesterday, 9,000,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Whereas in London, or in England rather, over the course of the weekend, they did nearly a million.
Yeah,
600,000, 300,000.
Yeah. That piss up in the brewery you're planning, do not get Nicola to organise it. She is in deep trouble, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
And she
Well, the other thing that's developed this week is the sacking of Joanna Cherry.
Yeah, well, that's because she's a supporter of Alex Salmond.
Right.
Proving what's really going on there.
She also has that ludicrous point of view that, you know, if you have a vagina, you're a woman, and if you don't, you're not really.
Oh, Come
I mean,
on.
Imagine having that sort
of
ridiculous
idea. Oh, by the way, those Scottish idiots. Idea. Yeah, that idiot parliament, the Scottish parliament that wants to ban everything. It's the world capital of no.
Right.
And you are banned.
Right.
Yeah, kids, parents can't smack their kids. You can't drink booze. You can't.
They were the first
that.
People to bring smoking
ban. You know what they
want
to do now? They want to ban misogyny.
Yes.
So men will be. It will be a crime for men to not particularly like women.
Well, it'll be worse than that because they've got this new hate crime bill coming thanks to
with
Hamza Yousaf, right? But not only misogyny, but it will also be all the trans stuff as well. So if you in any way say that you actually like women, because that means you're not a misogynist and you don't wish to be mean to them, but you have a view about what a woman actually is, that'll also be a hate crime.
Yeah, exactly.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
To go back to Nicola, all this noise, this white noise she's creating is to overshadow her own real problems with Alex Salmond. I think she may be doomed in that.
I think, do you know what happens to politicians? And it's happened to almost every single one that you can think of. Blair, Major, Thatcher, Gordon Brown, every single person, Theresa May, they get to this point where they think they're invincible.
Yeah.
And they think they know better than everybody else.
And then they suddenly realise they're fucking
And
not.
They suddenly realise, they look around and everyone's walked away from them and they're left standing there on their own.
Yeah.
And everyone's going, well, you know, maybe it's time to move on.
Yeah.
And I think that's where she is
just
right
like
now.
Like all politicians, they're a piss in the wind and then the piss ends. she'll be forgotten. But she also, in my view, while shouting, give us Indy Ref 2, she's only doing that because she knows that Boris won't give it to her. And if she did have Indy Ref 2 tomorrow, I think she'd lose it. And
yeah.
I think she fucking knows
it. Well, listen, we always get a great reaction whenever we talk about the SNP in Scotland because people in Scotland are sick to death of the way that the Scottish media operates around them because they're so kind of, you know, loving towards them. You know, I mean, Kevin McKenna, a guy that I've known for years, who now writes a column in the Herald.
Yeah.
And he was never a particularly staunch SNP supporter. But even he, when I had him on, was full of the joys of spring about, but the thing is, she's so popular, Mike.
She's
I'm like, well, no, she's not popular. She is actually very unpopular in an awful lot of parts of Scotland who don't support her.
Well, I had a publican ring my show on Friday, a nice guy in Dundee called Dan, and he's been struggling to keep
I think I've spoken to him, yeah.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. And he phoned up on Friday, virtually in tears, saying, that's it, I've had to shut up shop forever. And then I'll paraphrase what he said, but he basically said, while people are struggling to survive, while people can't find two halfpennies to rub together, they can't make a living, their businesses are crashing. He said, this stupid little woman is banging on, droning on about political concepts of independence. He said, I'm trying to feed my kids. You think I give a fuck about Scottish independence?
Well, exactly right. Also, when you look at what it is that is going on in terms of how they propose to make it all work, there's no conversations, as I've often said, about all of the British parts of Scotland, like, for example, the royal family. Like, for example, they've already said that they would keep the Queen as a head of state. It's like, oh, that's nice of you.
You can't have our money, by the way.
No, exactly. They want to keep the pound, probably.
You can't have it.
And, you know, that means that England would still...
You can't have the BBC.
But that also means the Bank of England would still control their currency, which doesn't make them independent. They'd also have Faslane and other military installations to either remove or to take some part in or to pay for in some way, which isn't sensible. Mm-hmm. Then they'd also have, of course, all the other bits and pieces of the civil service. Like Edinburgh is full of people that work for HMRC in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And, you know, who's going to pay for all that? And are they all going to be relocated? Are they just going to be thrown on a dung heap and say, well, look, there's 10,000 people working for the tax man. They're all out of a job now.
She wants Nicola Sturgeon, desperate for independence from England and from London, but desperate for dependence on Brussels. And here's the other problem. She goes, you wait till we join the EU. The EU doesn't want fucking Scotland to join.
No, why would they?
It's not fucking interesting.
Well, I mean, the EU's got its own problems, as we discussed earlier, in addition to which, you know, Scotland doesn't really qualify as an independent country unless they have probably signing up to the euro, probably getting rid of the shackles with the civil service in Britain, and also getting rid of all the military stuff.
Yeah, well, she, you know, they're not thinking this through, the independence fighters up there.
No, because it's all based, like you said, on Braveheart, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
No, we want our independence.
Can I take our freedom?
Yeah.
You can't have the fucking BBC. You can't have the fucking NHS. You can't have our currency. What can you have?
Yeah, exactly. You can't even have the castles either.
Yeah, honestly, they're not thinking it through.
No.
They think that it'll be exact. You cannot have the BBC. And you cannot have the NHS.
Mm.
You've got to start doing everything for yourself. And you can't have, the £12 a head per citizen that we give
the Barnett
Scotland
formula and all that.
Yeah, every week. Mm. You know, so.
And that's the other thing, is that they've got a very top-heavy sort of public sector employment status in Scotland, because an awful lot of people work for the public sector. When they started the Scottish Parliament, which was ludicrously over budget, they built a massive, huge office complex down in Leith to house 3,500 civil servants, just to support the Scottish Parliament. So that's their own civil servants, without the ones that actually work for the British government, that they'll have to find money for.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an absolute
crapshoot. You can't fucking base an economy on shortbread and whiskey, can you?
You really can't. Or indeed oil.
Planning.
Well, I mean, their last plan was that they were going to be as rich as Saudi Arabia.
Well, you see, but all that North
and then
sea
the oil
gas
price
and oil
went
all,
down the toilet.
Down the shit,
have you seen, by the way, Biden has declared war? I'm not quite sure whether he knows what he's doing here. Yeah. He's apparently declared war on fossil fuels, right? Which he did say he was going to do,
to be fair. It's gone down like a fucking massive
America. I mean,
in the Rust Belt.
Well,
it's
nobody
cost millions of jobs.
Nobody wants the fucking
he's
green economy.
As well.
Yeah, nobody wants the fucking green economy.
Which
everyone in America drives around in a fucking great gas-guzzling car, right?
Yeah.
People love oil. People actually own individual oil derricks in California, don't they?
Two things you never lower the price on or raise the price on in America is gas, as they call it, petrol, and beer.
Right.
So he's raising the price on gas, and no doubt will raise the price on beer. He'll probably declare it's bad for you, particularly if you're a child.
Do you know, when I was first living there and I went to my first job in Dallas, which was absolutely great fun. So I always remember getting in the car at Dallas Fort Worth Airport and driving and seeing the skyscrapers in the distance and just singing the theme from Dallas, you know, because that was the start of the show. But when I first went there, there was a guy that I went to work do something for the Star magazine, and there was a guy called John Cotter, I think his name was, and he said, "Oh, you'll have a great time in Texas." He said they've got because you can drink and drive. They've actually got drive-through liquor stores. I'm like, "What are you joking?" He's like, "No, you drive in. They give you a case of beer, you stick it on the front seat, and you can drink and drive."
Yeah,
couldn't fucking believe it.
Yeah,
that was actually legal. I don't think they've stopped it now, but in those days, in the 80s, it was legal.
I went to Montana for the Mirror to drive at 95 miles an hour because they haven't got any fucking speed limits.
Were you up there for the Bobby thingy's
parents? I went up for... No, I didn't. That was before my time. I did go up there when Prince William, and I think Harry as well, went to a dude ranch
up
in Montana.
Right.
And I
great
go,
Montana,
and
isn't it?
Yeah, a lovely place. They're strange people. But I went up there to try and find it, and we found it. And they basically chased us off the ranch with guns.
Yeah, I went up there.
Like being a fucking cowboy
film. I went up there
film.
Because Bobby Ewing, whose real name I forget.
Butte.
His name is
Patrick Duffy.
Patrick Duffy, that's right. His parents lived in this little town in Montana called,
Boulder's in Colorado.
No, I think there's a Boulder there as well.
No,
anyway,
it's Butte. It's
well,
Butte,
no, it was a little town though. It wasn't the capital. It was not the capital, I promise you. And it was this little town which looked like a town from the Wild West, because it had like those kind of white, those wooden walkways along the side of the road, right? So they lived it. They ran a pub or something in this little town.
Yeah,
and somebody
got
in and
killed,
robbed it
yeah,
and
yeah.
shot them. Right, but when I arrived in, I think I arrived in Butte. I think that was the place you fly to, and went to get the rental car. And they apologised to me because all they had left was a sports car. And I went, "That's fine. I'll take the sports car." It was like a Toyota Celica or something. And they said, "Well, most people want a 4x4 around here." I said, "No, that's fine." And I went for a drive one day. I actually saw old tin mines, like disused tin mines. It was fucking amazing. And it was like driving through a Western movie. And then I finally went to park the car up, went back to the hotel, woke up next morning. It was about 3 feet of fucking snow, right? And unfortunately for me, I'd forgotten to shut the sunroof of the car. So the fucking car was full of snow. I had to get a fucking great brush and sweep it. Froze my arse off because it didn't have heated seats in those days.
Well, the thing
horrendous.
About people like a place like Montana, if you go to all these backwater states like Dakota and
yeah.
part Arizona.
There's nothing there, is there?
Yeah, but the thing about the people there is they don't like foreigners. They don't like outsiders. So me and this photographer are trying to find this dude ranch where Prince Harry and Prince Philip, they weren't there anymore. But we were going to go and try and find out the story of what they got up to. I guess they probably just rode a few fucking horses.
Yeah, probably.
Don't know why we bothered. Anyway, we kept asking, do you know
where
they
are? Yeah, there you go. I found Boulder, Montana.
Okay, there you go.
It's definitely there.
Okay. We couldn't find this place. It was literally called the Lazy Q or something.
Right.
And round and round in the houses, we realised after about 4 hours that the fuckers were giving us the wrong directions deliberately. And that's what they do. They just do not
like
outsiders.
Well, do you know, it got to me when I was going to places like that, I'd just tell people I was from New York because it was too complicated to say we're from England. Because they'd be like, what? Yeah. You're from where?
By the way, also, I was in a place, what was it? Missoula, I was in.
Oh, where was that?
It's in Montana, okay. A really nice town. Well, kind of nice. You know, it's what they call a city.
Yeah.
But you can see the end of it. Anyway, I said to the maitre d' of the hotel, when I say maitre d', I mean guy in cowboy hat sitting behind a table in the foyer. I said, so what's the best restaurant in town? And he said, you want to go to Joel's Steakhouse. That's all they had, steakhouse. And, you know, sure enough.
The steak's probably pretty good, though.
Oh, man, the steak's massive and great. He didn't get anything with him.
No.
For a couple of bits of fries, and that's it. And I said to the waitress, I said, could I have a look at the wine list? And she looked at me like I was some sort of lunatic. What?
That happened to me.
Can I have a look at the wine? They only serve beer.
That happened to me in Kansas. I went to Wichita, Kansas once with Boris Yeltsin, believe it or not, who never stopped drinking Jack Daniels, literally never stopped, was constantly on it. I stayed in some, I think it was a Hilton or something. I was like, so I said the same conversation. What's the best restaurant in town? And he's like, what? I said, you know, like a, what sort of restaurant? I said, well, like a French restaurant maybe or something like that. He went, there's a Denny's up on the highway. And this is quite a big city, right, Wichita? It's like, I think it's the state capital of Kansas. And I was fucking flabbergasted. They literally didn't have any decent restaurants.
Yeah, well,
I know this is starting to sound very middle class.
I love America and I love Americans, but a lot of them are not the most sophisticated people on the planet.
Well, we've talked about this, haven't we? When you get away from the main sort of cities and the coast and the East Coast and the West Coast and this tiny little bit in the middle where Chicago is, there's not much going on.
Oh, no, fuck off.
And most of them, of course, I mean, this is a true, I think, true statement as much as it was years and years ago. Something like 60% of Americans don't even have a passport.
More than that. It's over 75%.
They don't fucking leave the country.
Only about a quarter of them got passports.
And if they do leave the country, they mostly just go to Mexico or the Caribbean, or the Caribbean, as they like to call it, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I saw a lot of that down in L.A., where people would drive down to Mexico, including us. But, they're pretty sedentary people. Mm. They don't leave their own country. They're suspicious of the rest of the world. And therein lies the problem. Talking of America and the rest of the world, I see fucking Joe Biden.
Yeah.
He's not really rushing to call it a military coup in Myanmar, is he?
He's a bit quiet.
Do you know
why?
Do you know why? Because he's scared of offending his friends in China.
Is that right? You know, because I did say the other day when we did it, you know, this will be interesting. First test of his foreign policy, Mr. Joe Biden, who apparently is going to stand up.
He deplores it.
He's going to stand up to China. Oh, yeah?
Yeah?
Well, here's your chance, mate.
Yeah, yeah. He deplores what's happening in Myanmar, but he will not condemn the military coup, will not call it a coup.
No.
Because the Chinese back the military in Burma, and to call it a military coup would offend the Chinese.
Yes.
So old Joe, fucking smoking Joe, is as silent as a dead baby on it.
Let's give him his due. He's been president now for, what, about 2 weeks?
Yeah.
He's made that one speech, I think, which we pointed out the other day, where he said 300 Americans are going to be vaccinated rather than 300 million. He's had himself filmed losing a pen inside his inside jacket pocket because he couldn't actually figure out how to put it in there. He hasn't done it. He's done fuck all about Myanmar. He hasn't rolled out 100 million fucking...
Yeah, I'll tell you who rolled out all their vaccines, President Trump.
Yeah, right. Well, do you see, they've also, I think I'm right in saying, they've just approved that... incomprehensibly pronounced drug for which Trump was calling for.
Oh, right, which
do.
Trump said everyone should take.
Yeah, well, they've now apparently approved it, according to a piece of information I got today.
I might give that one a miss.
Well, you might do, but the point is that there's going to be an awful lot of stuff that Trump set into play that Biden is going to benefit from. And that Biden, supposedly this week, is it not the case that the Senate are supposed to be looking at now impeaching Trump again, which they really should fucking give up on.
Well, February 12th is going to happen, isn't it?
But I don't think it's going to happen. I think what's going to happen is they're going to have a meeting, they're going to present the impeachment papers, and it's going to be voted down because they're not going to get enough people to vote for it.
Well, haven't they already voted for the impeachment?
No, I don't think so. I mean, they've got to...
February 12th, I think it's supposed to be.
No, but I thought that... This is what I'm saying. I think
they could backtrack on it.
Well, I think what happens is they now have to...
Because it's a fucking bad idea. They're going to lose.
Well, they are. That's what I mean. It's
Trump
not gonna,
will be acquitted.
It's
100%.
Not 100%. And he presumably won't even be there, will he?
I don't think he actually has to be there, no. But his, obviously his legal team has to be.
Mind you,
but
if I know Donald, team, though, has he?
Well, if
They've
I know, yeah, but if I know Donald, he'll turn up because he knows he'll win.
Just to give him a hard time.
Oh, fucking right.
I mean, it really is a ridiculous situation.
Pelosi's though. A bloody danger to the Democrats.
She ought to be retired.
Oh, she's about 107.
I know, absolutely bloody ridiculous. So, what you got coming up this week on the old football front? Because you know, Fulham.
We got more and more. Difficult fixtures. We had two games over the last week, Brighton and West Brom, 6 points at stake. We should have got 6 points. We got two of the fuckers. So it's like good night, Vienna. Fucking
team.
So
you're already capitulating to going down then?
Well, I'm not quite prepared to accept it, but in reality, we're in a lot of shit.
Yeah.
It's got a decent team. We just can't take fucking
But, you
goals.
Know, are you one of those people that would say you'd rather be in the Championship? Because... I know people who have said this to me before.
It's more fun.
They'd rather be in the Championship with a team playing well than in the Premier League with a team playing shit.
Well, even if you're not playing that well, the Championship is more fun.
Yeah.
Because the Premiership is six teams with a load of money and then the rest struggling to survive every single year without fail.
Mm.
So it's a bit sort of monolithic in the Premiership.
Yeah.
You're either struggling or you're owned by some Arab or a Russian oligarch. Mm. You know, simple as that.
Yeah.
So we're actually owned by an American, Malaysian-American multi-millionaire, billionaire,
right.
I think, but doesn't seem to do as
is
much
Is he the
good.
Guy with all the exhaust places in America?
I think he is. He's, what's his name? His name's Sahir Khan.
That's him, yeah.
Got a big tash.
Yeah, that's right. I thought he was Pakistani.
He owns the Florida... Jacksonville Dolphins.
The Jaguars.
One of those.
That's another thing, actually. I thought it was a Super Bowl this weekend, and I nearly was all prepared to stay up and watch it, but I think it's next Sunday. So I'll probably watch that. It's the last vestige of Americanism.
Tom Brady might get his eighth.
Is he going to be playing?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Really?
So it'll be the world record.
Well, I'll have to keep an eye on that.
He'll finally be elevated to the icons of all-time American sport.
Very good.
He should have been already.
He should have been. Well, we've come to the end of another podcast. This is, of course, The Thought Police. We'll be back with you same time next week. See you then.
This is just dreadful. And of course, if she worked for any other organisation, she'd get the fucking sack right now.
Well,
but
of course.
But the EU, if you're shit, you've got a job for life.
Well, do you know, I'd actually forgotten who her predecessor was. And I don't know if you remember, but you know when your mind kind of goes blank and you go,
was it that old drunk, wasn't it?
It was the drunk, yeah.
Jean-Claude Drunkard. Yeah.
And to be worse than him is really quite an achievement.
Yeah, he came out last week saying that what she was doing was a disgrace.
Right.
And if he says that, trust me, what she was doing was a disgrace.
I mean, even pissed, he was a better EU commissioner than she is sober.
Yeah, I mean, as I said last week, what she proved the EU to be was useless in not ordering any vaccines. Childishly petulant in saying, right, well, Britain can't have them anyway.
Right.
And then vicious by closing down in a temper the Irish border.
I went to get the rental car and they apologised to me because all they had left was a sports car. And I went, that's fine, I'll take the sports car. It was like a Toyota Celica or something. And they said, well, most people want a 4x4 around here. I said, no, that's fine. And I went for a drive one day. I actually saw old tin mines, like disused tin mines. It was fucking amazing. And it was like driving through a Western movie. And then I finally went to park the car up, went back to the hotel, woke up the next morning. It was about 3 feet of fucking snow, right? And unfortunately for me, I'd forgotten to shut the sunroof of the car. So the fucking car was full of snow. I had to get a fucking great brush and sort of froze my arse off because it didn't have heated seats in those days.
So you can't have the fucking BBC, you can't have the fucking NHS, you can't have our currency. What can you have?
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.